Brethren, most of us have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life. This is one of my favorite movies. It was filmed in 1946, right after the World War II, and it starred Jimmy Stewart, Donna Reed, and Lionel Barrymore. Jimmy Stewart starred as a struggling banker who never got to travel and never got to do the things that he wanted to do and dreamed of doing. He never got to travel because he was always too busy selflessly serving the community through his bank. Something always came up that dashed his dreams of travel. Through no fault of his own, and actually through fraud by another bank and banker, his bank was going to be foreclosed on along with all of his dreams. Everything that he had worked for was dashed. He was going to jump off a bridge and commit suicide when an angel stopped him and showed him how truly important he was to his family and to his community. The angel let Jimmy Stewart temporarily live in an alternative life scenario to show him what life would have been like if he had never been born and had never lived. It was interesting and incredible to see just how many lives that he had touched and then changed for the good. Just one example is that in this alternative life scenario, since he was never born, he was not there as a child to save his brother from drowning. So therefore, later in life, his brother was not alive, where he would have saved hundreds of soldiers from being killed on a ship in World War II. The movie showed how devastated some of the lives of the people in the community were because he was not there to show them the kindness that only he had shown them through his bank. It showed just what a difference one life can make in the lives of hundreds, if not thousands, of people over a lifetime. Do we sometimes feel that we don't make a difference in the world? That we don't affect others? That our actions, our character, our speech, our attitudes don't really matter and don't affect others? We, as called out ones of our Heavenly Father, are no one special in the world. None of us are special in the eyes of the world. We're not elected officials. We're not in the daily news. We're not considered by the world to be important people. However, our Heavenly Father has invited us to be His called out ones in the world today for a very special purpose in this lifetime. A purpose that we may not have explored before. We truly are no one special in and of ourselves, but our Heavenly Father has made us special through His relationship with us and for making us His representatives on the earth. And because of that, our actions, our character, our speech, and our attitudes, our behavior really do matter and can and do affect others either positively or negatively. Today, brethren, in my sermon entitled Being Ambassadors of Our Heavenly Father, Being Ambassadors of Our Heavenly Father, I want to explore the importance of being His proper ambassadors by being good examples in how we act, how we speak, how we think, and how we treat others. We will explore this subject in 4 points. But first, let's define our terms. According to Merriam-Webster's 2022 dictionary, the word ambassador is defined as an official envoy, a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, or appointed for a special diplomatic assignment. So, brethren, an ambassador is the highest diplomat of a country sent by that country's leader to represent that country while residing in that other country. The United States has ambassadors representing the government of the United States in most other countries in the world. Ambassadors of the United States live and work in embassies in the capital cities of those foreign countries, such as London, England, Paris, France, Berlin, Germany, Moscow, Russia, Ottawa, Canada, Mexico City, Mexico, and now Jerusalem, Israel. An ambassador is sent by the leader of the country and represents his or her country at the highest level in the foreign country where he or she resides. An ambassador is the official extension of the president or the leader of the country that he represents, and he does the bidding of and follows the orders and commands of the president or leader of the country. He speaks the words given to him by the president or the leader of the country. An ambassador does not go rogue and just do his own thing by saying his own words and expounding his own thoughts and opinions. With that in mind, brethren, the first point in being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father is Jesus was an ambassador of His Heavenly Father. Point number one, Jesus was an ambassador of His Heavenly Father. Please turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. When Jesus was being questioned by Pontius Pilate in Jerusalem shortly before he was condemned to death by Pilate, Jesus spoke of this government that he represented. John 18 and verse 36. John chapter 18 and verse 36. In John 18:36, we read, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." So Jesus represented the kingdom of his Father that he had always been part of from eternity. It is the kingdom of heaven that Jesus discussed 32 times in the book of Matthew. And it is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his Father, 54 times in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Again, the words kingdom of God in Greek are a basileo to theo, the kingdom of the God, the kingdom of God our Father. It was his Father's kingdom. And while on earth, Jesus was an ambassador of his Father and of his Father's kingdom. Just as an ambassador is the mouthpiece for and conveys the words of the president or the leader of the country that he represents, Jesus represented his Father and said the words that the Father had given to him. Please turn with me to John 17. John chapter 17. In part of the prayer that Jesus prayed with his disciples on the last night of his physical life, Jesus confirmed this. John chapter 17, and we'll read verse 8. John 17 and verse 8. In John 17, verse 8, we read, "For I have given unto them the words which you gave me." These are the words of Jesus. "I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from you, and that you have and they have believed that you did send me." So Jesus spoke the words that God our Father gave to him and showed that his Father had sent him as his emissary. He had sent him into the world. Please turn with me a few pages over to John 12. John chapter 12. Jesus did the bidding of his Father. We read this in John chapter 12, just a few pages back, beginning in verse 49. John chapter 12 and verse 49. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So Jesus, as the ambassador of His Father, who was sent by His Father, and spoke whatever His Father commanded Him to speak, He served as an ambassador, just like an ambassador today serves and does for his government and his leader. Please turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Again, Jesus did only what the Father did. John chapter 5, and in verse 19, Jesus says this. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For what things soever He does, these also does the Son also. Likewise, as an ambassador of His Father, Jesus did nothing of Himself. He never went rogue, except what the Father gave Him to do. Let's continue in verse 36, in John chapter 5, and verse 36. We read, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. It's very important. Again and again, it was that the Father had sent Him. He was the ambassador of His Father. Again, Jesus was an emissary of His Father. He was sent by the Father and represented the Father and did the works that the Father had given Him to do. Just as an ambassador is sent by the country's leader and does the actions and the words of that leader. Please turn with me to John 14. Jesus was so much like His Father as His representative that if you had seen Jesus, you had seen the Father. And we read this in John 14, beginning in verse 8. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 8. In John 14, verse 8, we read, Philip said unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet have you not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? So Jesus was so much like our Heavenly Father that He could say that if you had seen Him, you had actually seen the Father. In short, Jesus truly was a perfect ambassador of our Heavenly Father. He was sent by His Father. He spoke the words that His Father gave to Him. He represented His Father to the world, and He fulfilled all the duties of an ambassador. So, brethren, Jesus the Anointed One was an ambassador of His Heavenly Father. The second point in today's sermon in being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father is, point number two, we are ambassadors of our Heavenly Father on behalf of Jesus. We are ambassadors of our Heavenly Father on behalf of Jesus. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul states that we are ambassadors for Jesus the Anointed One. This is a well-known but misunderstood verse. It's 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll begin in verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul writes, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, the Anointed One, as though God, Hotheos, the God our Father, as though God our Father did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. First of all, verse 20 does not say that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. There is a specific way in Greek for Paul to have said that or to have written that we are ambassadors of Christ. But he didn't write that. In verse 20, the word for, F-O-R, in Greek is huper, H-U-P-E-R, huper, and it's Strong's number 5228. And when huper is used with the genitive case, it means on behalf of. Now in verse 20, Christ is in the genitive case. So verse 20 could be better translated as, we are ambassadors on behalf of the Anointed One. The World English Bible translates verse 20 in this way. We are therefore ambassadors on behalf of Christ, as though the God our Father, were entreating by us. Now, grammarbook.com states that on behalf of in English means as the agent of, in the place of, on the part of. So what the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 20 is that we are therefore ambassadors on the part of or in the place of the Anointed One, as though God our Father were making his appeal to the world through us. The Aramaic Bible in plain English states, verse 20, as we are ambassadors, therefore, in the place of the Messiah, and as if he who is God requested of you by us in the place of the Messiah, we beseech you, therefore, be reconciled to God. It's one of the better renditions of that verse. You know, Jesus is no longer walking the earth as a physical man, being an ambassador of his Father. He's no longer doing that. That responsibility has been passed on to the called out ones of his Father, of our Father. So verse 20 is stating that we are ambassadors in place of the Anointed One, as though God our Father is now making his appeal to the world through us. Brethren, are we ambassadors of our Heavenly Father like Jesus was an ambassador of his Father? Being an ambassador is an important and heavy responsibility. Please turn with me to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul talks about our citizenship. Philippians 3 and verse 20. I'm reading this out of the New International Version. Philippians 3 and verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Now the Greek word for citizenship in verse 20 is politeuma, P-O-L-I-T-E-U-M-A, politeuma, and it's Strong's number 4175. And it means form of government or citizenship. Unfortunately, the King James Version translates this Greek word as conversation. But it means citizenship. So, brethren, as ambassadors of our Heavenly Father, our true citizenship is in heaven. Again, ambassadors are not citizens of the countries to which they are sent. And we are being sent into the world. Please turn with Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Jesus told his disciples that he was sending them forth to the world as sheep among the wolves. We read this in Matthew chapter 10, and we'll begin in verse 16. Matthew chapter 10 in verse 16. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in the synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." No, brethren, again, Jesus was sending his disciples forth as emissaries of our Heavenly Father's kingdom. But the world was going to mistreat and abuse those ambassadors. Please turn with me to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. You know, after Jesus' resurrection on the Sunday during the days of unleavened bread, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And he said something very profound. And we read this in John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. John chapter 20 and verse 19. In verse 19 of John 20, we read, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.' And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were his disciples glad when they saw the Lord." And then in verse 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you.'" Even as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you. Just as the Father sent Jesus forth to the world as his ambassador, Jesus is sending us forth into the world in his stead as ambassadors of our Father. We won't turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter 2, 2 Kings chapter 2, we can read about a change in responsibilities from one prophet to another. You know, just like Elisha picked up the mantle that Elijah gave to him as Elijah ascended into the sky, Jesus gave us his mantle of being an ambassador of God our Father when he became a spirit being once again and ascended to his Father. Please turn with me to Matthew 28, and we will read a very well-known set of scriptures concerning the commission that Jesus gave his disciples after his resurrection. And these verses are the last three verses of the book of Matthew. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth.'" And verse 19, "Go you therefore into all the and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Again, Jesus' disciples were to go into all the world, teaching the people in the world all of the things that Jesus had told them. Again, they were being sent into the world just like God our Father had sent Jesus into the world, preaching and teaching the exact same message that Jesus had preached and had taught during his physical life. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter discusses the importance of our example in representing our Heavenly Father. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll read verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Peter writes, "Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God." That's Hotheos, the God, God our Father, on the day that he visits us. As ambassadors of our Heavenly Father, we represent Him. Our actions, our speech, our treatment of others represent Him. And Peter is saying that our actions and deeds are to be righteous so that the world will glorify God our Father when He comes, because they will know that we had represented Him. Brethren, we have been called out of this world to be an example, a light reflecting the image of our Heavenly Father and of His Son, Jesus, the Anointed One. Please turn with me to John 8. John chapter 8. Again, we begin with the example of Jesus. In talking in a heated debate with the Pharisees, Jesus stated that He was the light of the world. And we read this in John 8 and verse 12. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The example starts with Jesus. Please turn with me to Matthew 5. As being ambassadors of our Heavenly Father, after the example of Jesus, we are to be lights of the world also. In Matthew 5, we read the words of Jesus saying that we as His disciples are to be the light of the world, just like Jesus was the light of the world. We read this in Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. Matthew 5 and verse 14. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all those that are in the house. And then verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Again, brethren, our righteous example to the world, patterned after the way that Jesus lived His life and after the way that Jesus was an ambassador of His Heavenly Father, was to be used not to glorify Jesus, but to glorify our Heavenly Father. Again, our example is not to our glory. It's not for us. It's not for our glory. Nor is it for the glory of Jesus. Rather, our example is for the glory of our Heavenly Father. Does our example and do our actions reflect God our Father in our daily lives? What kind of example are we laying each day, each and every day of our lives with our schoolmates, our teachers, our bosses, our subordinates, our fellow workers, our neighbors? Do we exhibit good works for others to see and to take note of so that they will one day glorify our Heavenly Father? Paul instructed the Romans on being a good example in the way that they live their everyday lives. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. The Roman Christians lived in a very pagan city, full of excesses and full of immorality. They faced trials every day, just as we do living in today's immoral society, which is getting more and more immoral each day. How can we live a good example? Paul instructed the Romans how to. And we'll read this in Romans 12, beginning in verse 9. I'll read this out of the New International Version. Romans 12 and verse 9. Love, agape, is godly love, must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So, brethren, what kind of example are we laying in the way that we treat our fellow brother in Christ? In the way we treat others in the world? How do we resolve our differences? How easily do we make amends with one another? Do our actions and example mimic Jesus, the Anointed One, the example that He left in His life? Remember, an ambassador is representing the government at all times. At all times. An ambassador is never really off duty when he's in the foreign country that he's been sent to. Brethren, we are on duty 24/7. Please turn with me to Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul exhorted the called out ones to show love to one to others in all that they did. And brethren, we as called out ones today need to do the very same thing. And we read this in Colossians 3 and verse 12. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. In Colossians 3, verse 12, Paul writes, "Since God," that's Hotheos, the God, God our Father, "chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you." You know, that's so hard to do. "Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love," that's agape, that's godly love, "which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful." Brethren, are these the attributes that we leave as an example to others in our daily lives? Do we live this way? Brethren, are we merciful to others? Are we kind to others? Are we humble in our approach to others? Are we forbearing to others with long suffering? Are we showing forgiveness in the way that we treat one another? Do we quickly forgive others? Or do we bottle up the resentment of wrongs done to us and let the bitterness build up inside us? Brethren, as we previously read in John 14, by Jesus' perfect life, He said that if we had seen Him, we had seen the Father. Can that be said about us? As His ambassadors today, can that be said about us, that if you see us, you have seen the Father? As ambassadors of our Heavenly Father to the world, do people in the world notice that we are indeed different? We're not like the world. Do they notice that we act differently, react differently, talk differently? Do our actions, our speech, our attitudes, and our demeanor showcase God our Father and Jesus the Anointed One and His kingdom? Or are we falling way short of properly representing the greatest government in all the universe and the greatest sovereign and His Son? The third point in being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father is, point number three, Jesus left us a perfect example for us to follow in being our Father's ambassadors. Jesus left us a perfect example for us to follow in being our Father's ambassadors. You know, brethren, how does our Heavenly Father expect us to fulfill our role as His ambassadors to the world? Did He transmit that knowledge to us by fiat? Did He provide us classes on how to become an effective ambassador? Did He print out for us an ambassador's user manual? Well, actually, He did. That user's manual is the Bible. And the teacher is Jesus in His life on earth as recorded in the Bible. Jesus lived as a human being, a fleshly human being, living a perfect life and leaving us a perfect example for us to follow of being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, where the Apostle Peter discusses the perfect example that Jesus left for us. 1 Peter 2, and we'll begin in verse 21. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. I'll be reading this out of the New Living Translation. 1 Peter 2, 21. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow His steps. He never sinned nor deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when He was insulted, nor threaten revenge when He suffered. He left His case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By His wounds, you are healed. You know, brethren, the Apostle Paul listed many important characteristics that Jesus showed as an example to us. Brethren, when we are insulted, do we retaliate? When someone cuts us off in traffic, do we say nice things to that person? Do we show love to others who treat us unfairly? Do we seek revenge on others who treat us wrongly? Jesus did none of these things. Please turn with me to Ephesians 5. The Apostle Paul also exhorted the Ephesian congregation to follow the example of Jesus and to imitate our Heavenly Father and His characteristics which were exhibited by His Son, Jesus. We read this in Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul wrote, "Imitate God." That's hotheos, the God, God our Father. "Imitate God our Father, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children." Talking about the Father and imitating Him. "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God our Father." The Greek word for love in verse 2 is agape. We've read about that before. And it's Strong's number 26. It's A-G-A-P-E, agape. And it's the unselfish divine love of our Heavenly Father and of His Son, Jesus. So Paul is exhorting us to imitate our Heavenly Father by following the example that Jesus left for us. We imitate our Heavenly Father by living a life filled with His godly agape love, a love that only comes from our Heavenly Father and from His Son. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, commonly known as the love chapter of the Bible. And we'll read about the main characteristic of being a disciple of Jesus and being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father. This characteristic is godly agape love. And Jesus perfectly exhibited this godly agape love during His ministry on the earth as the ambassador of His Father. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, again, which is referred to as the love chapter. And we'll begin in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. I'll be reading this out of the New International Version. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Paul writes, love, godly agape love, that's agape, is patient. Godly agape love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no account of wrongs. Godly agape love takes no pleasure in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Godly agape love never fails. In verse 13, we'll skip to verse 13. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is godly agape love. You know, during his life on earth, brethren, Jesus was patient, humble. He was never rude, never self-seeking. He was slow to anger and quick to forgive. He hated sin and rejoiced in the truth. He endured until his death, and he became our propitiation for sin. He paid the price for our sins. Brethren, do we follow his example in our lives? Please turn with me to John 13. Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment on the last night of his physical life, and that commandment was centered on the agape, godly agape love that the Father and Jesus have for us and the world, and on the godly agape love that they command us to have for others. Read this in John 13, beginning in verse 34. John chapter 13, and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And verse 35, this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have godly agape love one to another. So, brethren, Jesus instructed his disciples, and by extension, he instructs us today to have godly agape love for one another. It is the very sign that we are Jesus' disciples. And it is the very sign that we are ambassadors of our Heavenly Father. Again, our Heavenly Father did not expect us to be clueless, absolutely clueless in how to live our lives in a righteous and holy manner. Instead, he left us a primer book on how to be his ambassadors through the record of Jesus and through how Jesus lived his life and the example he left for us. And if we are to be ambassadors of our Heavenly Father, just like Jesus was during his physical life on earth, then we should be searching daily to continually be cognizant of how Jesus lived his life, so that we are continually patterning our lives after the life of Jesus and the example he left for us. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. The Apostle John exhorted the brethren toward the end of the first century to live their lives as Jesus did. And we read this in 1 John 2 and verse 6. I'll read this out of the Berean Study Bible. 1 John 2 and verse 6. Whoever claims to abide in him, meaning Jesus, whoever claims to abide in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. Whoever claims to abide in Jesus must walk as Jesus walked. Very powerful words. Brethren, if we are claiming to be Jesus' disciples, if we are claiming to be ambassadors of our Heavenly Father, if we are claiming to be on our journey toward entrance into the very kingdom of our Father, we must be walking the walk that Jesus walked. The importance to follow the example that Jesus left for us leads us to the fourth point of today's sermon. The fourth point in being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father is, point number four, as ambassadors, we make powerful, long-lasting impressions on people by our example. Point number four, as ambassadors, we make powerful, long-lasting impressions on people by our example. You know, brother, a good example can bring about good consequences to others who are far away, people you may never even know. Conversely, a bad example can have a negative effect the same way. You know, many years ago, a member told me a story about the good example of another member whom she never even knew and how that good example affected her in a very, very positive way. Her story was this. About 20 years ago, she started a new job here in Houston in the month of July. As September and the feast were approaching, there was a discussion in the office about this member, meaning her, being gone for over a week for the feast. A vice president of the firm was walking by and heard part of the conversation and stopped and asked her, do you mean the Feast of Tabernacles? I think she must have dropped her jaw on the floor. I'm sure she was stunned. She replied, well, yes, the Feast of Tabernacles. How did you know about the feast? The vice president told her that many years ago in Sacramento, California, he had wonderful neighbors who were members of the Worldwide Church of God. He was impressed with the way that they lived their lives. He was impressed by the example that they set. And consequently, the vice president looked favorably upon the member here in Houston. She had no problem getting time off for the feast and continued to work there for many, many years. She didn't know who the vice president's neighbors were. She never met them. She still doesn't know their names, and they don't even know to this day what good effect that their example in their life had on another member in the Church of God decades later. You know, a good example is a gift that keeps on giving year after year, well into the future. The member told me how thankful she was that the church members who were neighbors to that vice president of her firm were good examples. She shudders to think what the downside could have been at her job if those church members had been terrible neighbors, had been terrible examples, leaving distasteful and very terrible memories and perceptions of the church and of its members in the mind of the vice president. She shudders to think that she could have just been starting this wonderful new job off in the company with the vice president of the company already in a bad frame of mind when it came to her leaving work to go to the Feast of Tabernacles, all because of a very bad memory and bad example set by members in the church years and years before. Likewise, do we realize that our bad actions, our bad attitudes, and our bad example can hinder others, can actually hinder others in their development, in their careers, and in their growth, maybe well into the future? Brethren, what is your story? In your own life, how has someone's good example benefited you? Maybe in a very unique way. Maybe the benefit was a direct result of another's actions. Maybe it was an indirect result which helped pave the way for you to achieve something or made something easier for you. Conversely, and sadly, has another church member's bad example punished you, hindered you, embarrassed you? You know, brethren, our example is powerful. How do we yield and use the power that God our Father has given to us? How do we use the opportunities that our Heavenly Father opens up to us to exhibit good examples for others? Do we truly view being a good example as an act of service for others that can actually serve and help them now or in the future? Please turn with me to 1 Peter 3. What is the power of our example? Do we realize that our Heavenly Father can use our example to actually change others? In 1 Peter 3, we read that the Apostle Peter exhorts the wives in the church to set good, righteous examples. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. We read, "Likewise, you wives, in subjection to your own husband, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of your wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." Now, the Greek word for conversation here is anastrophe, is A-N-A-S-T-R-O-P-H-E. And as Strong's number 391, it means behavior. It doesn't mean conversation. It means behavior. So these two verses could be better translated as, "Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste behavior coupled with fear." So the righteous example of wives can actually move their husbands to seek our Heavenly Father. Please turn with me to Philippians 2. The Apostle Paul exhorted the Philippians to set good examples for others to see, and that we are to be bright lights, lights to the world, bright lights shining in a very, very dark world. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 12. I'll read this out of the New International Version. Philippians 2 and verse 12. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, Paul writes, "But now, much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Brethren, are we living clean, innocent lives without arguing and complaining? Are we above criticisms from others in our behavior? Are we beyond reproach? What are our actions each day? Are we showing love and kindness to others in the way that we treat people who are less fortunate than we are? This is a great measuring stick for determining if we have the character of our Heavenly Father and the character that He wants to see in us. Please turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, and we will read a very famous part of Scripture where Jesus addressed many examples of this measuring stick of treating well the people who are less fortunate. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, Matthew 25 and verse 34, we read, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat." That means you always had time to help me. "I was thirsty, and you gave me drink." That means I always left you feeling better than you were before. "I was a stranger, and you took me in." Meaning, you invited me into your home and showed me hospitality. "Naked and you clothed me," meaning you looked after my needs. "I was sick and you visited me," meaning you cared for me in my distress. "I was in prison, you came unto me." meaning you helped me when I was less fortunate than you. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came unto you? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least, one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Brethren, do we live our daily lives in this way? Will we be on Jesus' right hand in the future with the way that we are living our lives right now? Brethren, our example is important, and it is so very powerful. Our example affects everyone around us. Our example can have far-reaching effects, not limited by distance or time. Our good example today can have a very positive effect on someone far away, even decades later. Being a good example is one of the reasons of our calling by our Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father can and does use our good examples to change the lives of others. Brethren, in today's sermon, we have explored being ambassadors of our Heavenly Father in 4 points. These 4 points are: point number one, Jesus was an ambassador of his Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus humbled himself, gave up being an Elohim or mighty one, and lived a perfect life as a fleshly man. During his lifetime on earth, Jesus was an ambassador of his Heavenly Father, who was sent by his Father, who spoke the words of his Father that he had given to him, and who represented his Father and his Father's kingdom in all things and at all times. This is exactly the function of an ambassador. Brethren, do we acknowledge Jesus in that important role that he perfectly fulfilled during his physical life? Point number two, we are ambassadors of our Heavenly Father on behalf of Jesus. Now, brethren, when Jesus died and was resurrected, he ascended back to the right hand of his Father, and he passed the mantle of ambassadorship of our Heavenly Father to us as his Father's called out ones. We have been sent into the world to preach the good news of our Heavenly Father's kingdom and to represent our Heavenly Father and his kingdom to others in the world. Brethren, do we truly understand the honor and the significance of being ambassadors of the Most High God, God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, the greatest and most powerful being in all the universe? Point number three, Jesus left us a perfect example for us to follow in being our Father's ambassadors. You know, God our Father did not leave us clueless on how to represent him as proper ambassadors. The Bible is our manual, and the examples of Jesus' life provide us with adequate instructions and examples on being the ambassadors that our Heavenly Father wants us to be. Brethren, are we studying daily that incredible user's manual, the Bible, for how to be our Father's ambassadors? And point number four, as ambassadors, we make powerful, long-lasting impressions on people by our example. Brethren, we have the power to change people's lives through our example and through our utilization of our Father's Holy Spirit. Our example can change the lives of our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, our students, our teachers, our family members, and fellow called out ones. Brethren, are we taking advantage of the opportunities that God our Father gives to us each day to set a good example for others so that they can see and ultimately give praise to our Heavenly Father? Brethren, we have been given a responsibility to be shining lights in a very, very dark world. Are we living our lives in a godly manner in our actions, our speech, and our attitudes that we show to others each day? Do people in the world truly see a difference in us? Or are we living our lives in such a manner that we don't stand out at all as being different from the world? Brethren, as ambassadors, we are on duty 24/7. We don't get to take vacation from being an ambassador of our Heavenly Father. We are on display every minute of every hour of every day of our lives. What do others see when they see us? Brethren, no matter who we are, we affect all the people around us in ways that we just do not realize at this present time. Just like Jimmy Stewart's character in It's a Wonderful Life, life would be very different for so many if we did not exist. The endless opportunities to positively affect so many people in the world are even increased with our calling by our Heavenly Father to be His ambassadors to the world. Brethren, ambassadors are not citizens of the country to which they are sent to represent their home country and their leader. Even though ambassadors physically reside in the foreign country, their loyalty, their commitment, their citizenship, and their responsibilities remain with their home country and that they are representing. Brethren, even though we currently live in the world, our loyalty, our commitment, our citizenship, and our responsibilities lie in heaven with our Heavenly Father. Brethren, are you being an effective, loyal, humble, committed, and righteous ambassador of our Heavenly Father?